Hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast. This is Rick White, and with me, as always, is Olympic gold medalist in curling, Ryan Gutowski. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good, Rick. I see you're using your NPR voice here. Should I also meet you with my NPR voice?
I don't know. Starting off is always kind of that that tone. What tone am I using? If I go too wacky, it sounds like I'm like some sports radio DJ or something like that. This is Rick and the Ryan with board gaming news. How's it going, everybody?
And then we got to have a couple sirens and honks in the background, yes. And maybe a duck quacking.
Yeah. Yes, that's how it goes.
yeah. That's the quality of the show that we're trying to produce.
Yes.
So, Rick, how was your Thanksgiving? We're just a little ways past Thanksgiving. How was the family game time?
It was fantastic. Got a lot of gameplay in with the family. Got a lot of naps in. I set a personal record where I took 3 naps in one day, and that was going to rank that in one of the top 5 days of my life. Got to
That's good.
Play a bunch of games that I've been hoping to get to the table. Like Chameleon, we played for the first time, and that went really well with my wife's family and some other things that we got to bring out that were always really fun.
That's awesome. We brought a small crate of games to my in-law's house, and it was funny because Downforce was the big success. I tried to get a couple of cousins to jump in and play some Downforce, and one of the uncles jumped in. We played one game of Downforce, and then next thing you know, somebody was like, "That was pretty quick. Want to play again?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. That's perfect." We played 6 times after dinner.
Man.
Like every time we transitioned to another game or we went outside and hung out somewhere, it was like, "We'll play some more Downforce." Okay, sure, let's do it. So lots of Downforce
That's
got
awesome.
Played.
I'll have to get my hands on a copy. We played a lot of Junk Art, which was nice because especially I was able to do everything from like my 10, 11-year-old cousin up to, you know, my parents and some of my, you know, more adult relatives got to play that game.
Junk Art is so flexible with the amount of players and then also just the age range.
Right.
It's just really flexible and does a great job of handling
it. And it's got a good set, like, good rule set too, you know, where you can vary it up for whoever's playing and, you know, whether you want it to be super competitive or you want to work together and things like that. That went really well. And we ended up playing, I think 5 games in a row of Escape, as we were trying to, we had 6 people playing and we ended up beating it once and we're like, let's ratchet it up a notch. So we had probably the most difficult layout we've ever had and we ended up beating
nice.
It. So that was really fun too. Again, one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's one of your favorites. That's definitely, I had some friends pick that up because of your review, last year. That's a crazy chaotic game.
Oh yes, definitely.
Well, Rick, today on the show, we're talking about gaming on a budget. Let's say, Rick, I come to you and I am, let's say poverty stricken.
Okay.
But I still have a desire to play some games.
Right. So a college student is what you're saying.
I'm a college student here in America.
Yes.
Rick, I am broke. I cannot feed my face, but I want to play some games. What do you suggest?
You know, that's also an awesome question because just a few weeks ago, maybe even a few months ago at this point, I read a blog post on Shut Up and Sit Down about this particular topic. And it really kind of triggered in me kind of this idea of, you know, thinking about how we spend so much money on some of these games, especially when you're like on Kickstarter and they're like $80 to get the custom miniatures. Woohoo! And I'm like, wallet. To think of all the fun that you can have without spending all that much money. So I think the first thing, especially for board gamers like you and I, that we forget is just a simple deck of cards and how much fun you can have with a deck of cards. When I was teaching at my old school, the students were really into euchre for some reason. And so
I've heard that one.
Yeah. And so for like the first 3 weeks, we played euchre like every day at lunch and, you know, very basic game. I honestly don't remember all the rules, but I mean, it involves a regular deck of cards and, you know, kind of a trick taking game. And you know, there's games like that. And then you're, you know, I know some people whose families like play Hearts or Spades. Like, that is what reunions are, is playing Hearts and Spades together, and they get super competitive about it. But I mean, those aren't the only kinds of games that you can play. I mean, you were mentioning that you learned a game, I think this weekend, that involves a regular deck of cards.
Yeah, so actually my dad, over the summer, he brought a deck of cards. One of the things that he's been trying to do now, just so you know, the gaming tendencies of my dad, anytime we bring out a new game, he's like, oh no, I'm not going to do it. If the game doesn't involve dice and have a 5-minute limit, then he's probably not playing. But he brought out a deck of cards, and he said, this is actually something that me and some of the folks in our retirement community are playing. I found this game online. It's called 99. And so it was me and my daughter, my youngest one, my mom, and my dad. I was like, yeah, let's learn. Let's check it out. So basically you take a deck of cards, you take jokers out, and a couple of the cards have different values. So the king, all the king cards are worth 99. The tens are worth negative 10. And then the nines are pass cards. And then the fours are reverse cards. And then aces, kind of like in some other games, aces are either ones or 11s, depending on the person's choice that plays the card. And everybody gets a hand of cards, and you're playing the cards into a single stack, a single discard pile. And what you do is you add the values. So if somebody plays a 5 and then somebody plays a 6, the total of the deck of cards is 11. The total discard pile is 11. And what you want to do is when you reach 99, so if somebody throws a king on there, it's immediately 99. Okay, the total is 99. Whoever busts and goes over 99 loses a coin or a chip or whatever your preference is to show that you've lost this item. Lose 3 times and you're out of the game. So it's a pretty cool game. I think a lot of the games that we're going to cover today have something in common, that there's a lot of luck around it, that there's a lot of chance. These are not your heavy strategy games.
Right.
These are just games that you play to have fun and enjoy time with people.
Right.
And that's what 99 was. We really had a good time, and there was enough strategy. It's like, do I want to take 10 off of the total just to have somebody sweep in, or do I want to hold it one more round, hoping that the player next to me ends up busting? So it's a pretty cool little game.
It's awesome. Yeah. Before we move out of decks of or card games, I want to mention spoons, which I think most people are familiar with, where, you know, you pass around the cards and try to get 4 of a kind. For me, that holds a special place because one of our big family memories on my mom's side is my great-grandmother at like 88 or 90 years old. I can't remember how old she was, to be honest, but was playing spoons with us like great-grandkids. And so she's sitting there quite, you know, she's a little feeble, not moving super speedy, but was, you know, taking the cards and passing them. And, you know, like we'd end up, if anybody ever got the 4 of a kind, we'd be fighting over spoons. But then, like, whoever lost, like, or was getting the last spoon knew that you couldn't steal the last spoon from great-grandmother. So you had to, like, slide it her way and be like, I'm out, I lost. And it was just a really, we've got a videotape on it, and it's of that experience. It was just a really cool kind of like family experience that kind of sticks with me, that we really enjoyed. Another thing
awesome.
Beyond cards would just be dice. And a lot of times we think of dice coming in games, but it's very possible to just go out and buy a bag of dice. I bought a bag of 100 dice for like $15 a few months ago, so that we could play some of the games that involve dice. You know, there's Yahtzee, of course, is kind of the first thing that people think of. But, you know, one of your favorites that I think, if you buy the right kind of dice, if you get multiple colors and things like that, you can play some of these other games if you just print out the score sheet. And one of the ones you've always mentioned is Quix. So you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Quix is really fun. Quix is kind of this push your luck game that you're rolling dice. And what I love about it is that it keeps everybody engaged. The game comes with a couple different color dice, four different colors, then two white dice. So players are rolling. There's an active player. That player rolls. And then players are allowed to take a combination of dice even on the active player's turn. So it keeps everybody engaged. And I really like the game because you start crossing off numbers on this chart. And as you cross off these numbers, you can't go backward. And so you want to see, man, is it worth going down three or four numbers knowing that you can't go backward and that might seal your fate. I really enjoy that game. That's one that I bought for my dad because he likes dice games. I think I bought it for him 2 years ago or something like that. And we've played it a bunch since then. In fact, during a pretty tough time for our family, losing a family member, I picked up a copy of Quicks, and, you know, everybody was sitting around after the funeral, and we busted out a copy of Quicks and we played, and just had a good laugh. And it was a really neat moment. That could be, it's about $9. If you go into your local Target, you can find it for about $9, or you can just print off a score sheet, look over the rules and get a couple multicolored dice that match, that criteria, and you're good to go.
Definitely. And, you know, another one that has been a big hit for us recently is Liar's Dice. This came from the suggestion from the Shut Up and Sit Down article. But when I read it, I was like, oh, this sounds familiar, but like every time I introduce it, people are like, you mean that Pirates of the Caribbean game? And I'm like, I do not remember that scene like at all. Like, I watched it now and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess so. But like at first, apparently I've blocked those movies from my memory because I don't remember anything about that. But anyway,
I think I remember it from playing Red Dead Redemption.
Yes, that's another one, I think. Yeah, another place where you can find it. But basically, for those that don't know about it, is everybody gets five dice. You get a cup that you can put over them. You roll them, put your cup over it, and then you go around the table betting how many of a particular number you think there are on the table under everybody's cups. So you might say, like, I think there are four twos, and the next person has to either up the number, so like four threes, four fours, or they have to up the quantity. And so it's really a guessing. There's, of course, a little bit of probability in there, but from the games I've played, I'm a math teacher, probability goes right out the window because you're like, there's no way there's 10 of something. And then they're like, there was actually 12. And you're like, no, that doesn't make mathematical sense. How could that even happen? But there's different ways that you can play the game. We kind of shorten it up with having like a voting scheme in each one where you have to vote whether or not that the person that gets called out as a liar is right or not. And if if you're wrong and if the person was wrong about their guess, everybody loses a die. So you're eliminating dice as you go through the game so that it doesn't last forever. That one has worked really well. Another thing that's kind of cool about it, especially if you start with like eight people, is it narrows down. When you get to like two or three, it really does become a very intense bluffing game. And so it kind of changes from one mechanic to another as people are eliminated. So it's really cool. So that's dice games. So card and dice, you go out and get yourself a set of those. I think you're set for starting any board game collection.
Rick, let's say I am trying to be like Dr. Frankenstein.
Yes.
And I want to merge these two things.
Yes.
I want to take dice. I want to take cards. And kind of like the Reese's Company, merge these chocolate and peanut butter. Merge them together.
But now you're just talking
crazy.
It's
a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me tell you, there's a game called Shut the Box.
Shut the Box.
Exactly. Shut the Box. One of the guys at work had a copy of Shut the Box. And it was interesting because it was this giant box. It wasn't leather bound or anything, but it looked like it belonged on a bookshelf, like of a really nice house. And so this box, you open it up and there's these tiled numbers that are on the swivel, and you can basically shut each of the numbers down face down so you can't see the number anymore. And then this really nice little felt pad that you can roll the dice in. I was like, this is super classy, but I'm pretty sure this can be done with a set of dice and some playing cards. He was like, yeah, it could, but this looks good on a shelf. That's true.
Right.
So essentially shut the box is a series of numbers. I think it's 1 to 9, but I've also seen instructions where you can play 1 to 12. Mm-hmm. 1 to 9 across the in front of the person. Take the dice, 2 dice, roll them. If you roll, let's say you roll a 7, you can take a 5 and a 2. You can take a 3 and a 4, a 1 and a 6, or just the number 7. And you can close out that number. So what you're doing is you're closing out these numbers. So if you were playing with a deck of cards and you had 1 through 9 on the top of the table, you just flip the cards over as you close out those numbers.
Right.
And the goal of the game is to try to get the lowest score possible. And what I enjoyed about it was that normally you would take the total of the cards. So if there was a 2, an 8, and a 9, you would just total that up and your score would be 19 points, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way this game works is you would take that total, you would take that number as a numerical value. So you'd take a 289. Your score is 289. That joker got tough. I mean, I was playing this game and I couldn't close it down one time. I think I scored 10,000 points.
Congratulations.
In one roll. Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, 10,000 points in a single roll. This is awesome. Because just what I rolled and what I took the turn before, there was nothing I could do.
Right.
But it was really fun. Like, we had a really, really fun time. We played that during lunch. But it's a game, if you look it up, Shut the Box, you can look up rules to make it work with just 2 dice and a simple deck of cards.
Yeah.
And it'll get people talking smack and yelling at each other pretty soon.
Right. And like you said, there's not a whole lot involved in it, as it's mostly luck. But yeah, I mean, you can still, like, even with like Yahtzee, which is, you know, another game that honestly, you don't have to buy Yahtzee. You can play Yahtzee if you've got some dice, but you know, even though it's pretty much all luck, there's still the smack talking and the stuff that you can do. Cause it's to have a good time, not necessarily to know, you know, like out strategize your opponent every time. And I know we're running a little bit low on time in this section, but, you know, just to mention a couple other things, you know, dominoes are always a good thing that you can get a hold of. Yep. For
lots of variations. I remember somebody showing us how to play chicken foot in college, played that constantly.
Right.
You know, it was a lot of fun.
Mexican train was a big one for my family. They had this big fancy Mexican train kit, but I don't think you need that. Then for the more... like specific games, Love Letter, which we've done a review of, is $8 right now on Amazon and a great value. You'll play it forever. I mean, it's something that I think you can never really get tired of. Coup kind of has a similar feel to that. Nice little deception game for like $10. And you know, for the party gamers out there, Sushi Go, pretty cheap game that you can get your hands on.
And
bring everybody.
I love Sushi Go because Sushi Go plays 5 players. And we introduced Sushi Go to a couple that came over just a week ago. And we sat down after dinner and we were like, let's just play a light filler game, bust out Sushi Go that had never played before. We played a couple games. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast. Yeah. So,
well,
it had been a while since we played that.
Well, I think, Ryan, that we've done a great job of giving any low budget / college student wannabe gamer a good starting point for their collection.
Yes.
So why don't we take a break, and then when we come back, we'll be talking about one of our favorite game designers. And we're back. Now, Ryan, this is the part of the show where we highlight some folks out in the board game community that people might not know about, little small-town game publishers and designers, and make sure people know about these awesome games that are being put out that they might not hear about otherwise. This week, we're going to talk about Keymaster Games, which you definitely have a lot more experience with versus me. Tell us about Keymaster Games just a little bit.
That's right, Rick. Keymaster Games is located actually in Athens, somewhere you're very familiar with. You were talking about Tai Chi Games just last episode. this is where they hail from, Athens, Georgia. Great place, right?
Oh, I like it. I'm a fan.
So it's run by Kyle and Maddox, and the way that I got introduced to it, a friend of mine was at work, and we gamed together, and he showed me, he said, hey, I've got a game that I purchased off of Kickstarter. It's my brother's friend who runs the company. Let me show it to you. And I was like, okay, cool. It's going to be something with some whacked out art. It's going to be something weird that nothing's going to catch on. He brought in this amazing little black box that had this gold foil printing. It's called Control is the name of the game. And I was like, what is this? And he said, no, it's this game Control by Keymaster Games. You should check it out. So I brought it home, fell in love with it. It's got this minimalist art, beautiful. Oh man, just such a good game. Production quality is insane. Such a good game. And Keymaster Games, they created this game. And essentially, so just some background. So Kyle, one of the two guys at the company, he went on a gaming binge and decided to start making games. He was going in for his third open heart surgery, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to create something here. And so Kyle approached Maddox, and Maddox and him started working on this game company. But the production quality on everything that Keymaster does is just out of this world. Sometimes I look at some of the games on Kickstarter and I'm like, I don't know if I can get down with the artwork. Anytime Keymaster Games has a game on Kickstarter, I know the art's going to be top notch. They work with great designers and it's really special. Maddox and Kyle I asked them about, you know, what are some things, some interesting facts that you guys want us to know? That Kyle always beats Maddox, even at the games that Maddox creates. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I'm the creator of this game.
And I just beat you down. Dadgummit.
So Keymaster Games is actually producing their third game called Claims of Gold. It's currently on Kickstarter until the middle of December. And so these three games, I thought it was interesting that Maddox had written me and said that they secretly try to connect every one of their games where they're all linked together in some weird way or through a story. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You've got Control, which is about space. You've got Campy Creatures, which is about this mad scientist who is fighting against other, fighting for the souls of mortals. And then you've got Claims of Gold, which is like this gold mining game that looks absolutely stunning. It's a worker placement game. So they're really cool guys, and it's definitely, you guys definitely need to check out Keymaster Games, look into what they're doing, and just shoot them a note and let them know what you think about some of the games that they're producing, because they're out of this world. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for kind of letting us know about this gaming company, and I think we're going to take a little break, and then you're going to tell us a little bit more details about one of Keymaster Games' latest creations. All right, everybody, welcome back. And it's during this part of the show where we like to do a quick little review of a game. And this week we're going to be talking about Campy Creatures, which is from Keymaster Games.
That's right. We want to tie it together.
Definitely. You know, a little continuity is nice. Yeah. Now, Ryan, I've seen your review, but I have not played the game. And so, but what I'm doing as I'm looking at this game is I'm seeing some cool artwork with some kind of classic monsters going on and a bunch of cards. So tie this all together. What is Campy Creatures about?
Yeah. So it's this bluffing deduction game that each player gets a set of cards. The premise is pretty common. You know, you're a mad scientist. Who doesn't want to be a mad scientist? you're this mad scientist that has all these creatures on hand who are being, you're sending them out to go get the souls of mortals. Some of the mortals that you'll come in contact with is you'll come across the teenagers. Teenagers in these horror movies and monster movies are always stupid.
Yes.
So they'll be easy to get.
Yes.
Right?
Just fodder for soul reaping. Definitely.
Exactly. You've got a cosmonaut. You've got archaeologists. You know, just people who hang out around monsters.
Right.
And then you've got basically you. There are a couple people that you don't want to get. The deep sea diver. The deep sea diver is going to take you out. I mean, it's negative points.
Yeah.
And so these different people, these different mortals that you're fighting over are basically your points. So you're sending out, the game happens over the course of 3 nights. You're sending out your monsters to battle other monsters to take over these mortals. And that's your score. 3 rounds, kind of like Sushi Go, 3 rounds, then you get your total. It's really fun. It's really cool because each card has a variable, a different ability. So the swamp creature has a different ability than the werewolf or, the vampire, you know, each one, there's a reason why you would want to play each one.
Gotcha. And so is this played, you mentioned Sushi Go. I mean, is that kind of a comparable game in any way, or like what other games might you compare this to that listeners might be familiar with?
You know, I can't think of one right offhand, but each of the cards in your hand, since everybody gets the same cards, all have a number value assigned to them. So if you play a vampire, which is a number 6, and the person next to you plays the kaiju, which is number 9, the kaiju is actually going to get first pick of the mortal in the middle of the table. But what's cool is these variable powers, they allow you to offset, you know, so a good one, probably one of my favorites, is the swamp creature. The swamp creature is a number 1, so you know he's going to get last pick. But the swamp creature says that when you take your mortal, you give him to another player. So you want to get that swamp creature out there when there's some negative points on the board. Pick up that negative point at the end of the turn, throw it into somebody else's point pool. I love that because when you look around the table and you know who's winning, everybody starts ganging up on that person who's winning, especially toward the end of the game. When you get to that third night, that third round, we play it at lunch quite a bit because it's just one of those games that takes 35, 40 minutes and everybody gets into it every time I bring it to work. And so people just gang up on the person who's leading toward the end of the round, toward the end of the third night. It's really fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it kind of, to me, it kind of has a sense of, I've got a game called Eggs and Empires. It's very similar, I think, to that, except I think this theme hits a little bit harder or a little bit better. That one's more of like you're fighting over dragon eggs, some of which are more valuable than others. That can be a kind of a difficult theme to sell to like a new gamer, to be like, hey, look, eggs and, you know, knights and things like that. People are like, oh, of course, you board game nerd. But also, I don't know if you're familiar with Libertalia, kind of has a similar approach where you've got different people on a pirate ship that you're playing cards that, you know, people have different, they have the same cards, but you play them at different times with different powers. Yeah, so it sounds similar to those games, but I do like, you know, the artwork to me is stunning on this game. I think it's fantastic. And I think the whole theme about it where you're working to get these different mortals and things like that, I really like that theme. I think it all kind of wraps together pretty nicely.
I think when the artwork started to come out, this was a Kickstarter project back in 2016. I think it was 2016, I believe. I'm trying to remember. I think it was 2016. They put it on Kickstarter, and I had to have it, man. I saw the artwork. They started trickling the artwork out on their Instagram feed. The artist is Emmerich Office, and he just did a phenomenal job with the artwork. And you start to see these things going from sketch to full color design. And the artwork was the thing that sold me. I think I was backer number 6 on this game. It's one of the few that I was sitting there waiting for the Kickstarter to launch just to purchase it, because the artwork drew me in so much. This idea of campy creatures, it brings me back to the days of watching the old horror movies, the old campy, you know, monster from the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and one of my favorite, what was the movie growing up in the 80s, Monster Squad?
Yes.
You know, do you remember that?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. One of my wife's favorites.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Monster Squad was just such a fun movie because you have all these movie monsters showing up and interacting with normal people, and that's what it made me think of, and that's why I had to have
definitely
it.
And so, you know, the number comparison thing seems pretty simple, but like with these rules and stuff, is it complicated? Were you able to play this game with your kids as well?
Yeah, so the kids caught on pretty well, actually, the first day that we opened it, and I had to put it on the table immediately. So I think it was my two daughters who were around, my 14-year-old and my 9-year-old, and we sat down and played it, and they really enjoyed it. They understood it pretty quickly. I think when you're playing with younger kids, one thing I like about this, the artwork, is that none of it is graphic. None of it is horrifying. It's just a creature.
Right.
That's what it is. You know, the werewolf isn't dripping with blood and gross. The werewolf is just a classic werewolf,
right?
You know, really well done. And so the kids really got into it. And I think if you're willing to sit there and explain what the cards do, and your kid can grasp that, hey, this card offsets this card. You know, one of the ones that has the biggest effect is the mummy. Anytime the mummy comes out on the same time that a kaiju comes out, the mummy gets the first turn. I don't know what it is with mummies and kaiju. I guess they hate each other.
I mean,
I don't know what the deal
you've
is.
Never seen like the movies of mummy versus kaiju. Where have you been, Ryan?
I don't shop in that part of the store.
Yeah,
I guess not.
Yeah.
I don't go to those DVDs.
Yeah, that rivalry just so it's old, man. It's years and years.
I know. I'm going to start looking for it in books.
Yes.
But yeah, so that has a huge effect. I mean, when you think that somebody's going to play the kaiju, you've got to put that mummy out. This way you can get first turn. You can steal whatever they wanted. And so my kids understood that, and my kids really, really enjoyed the game. They were the first ones to play it with me. And since then, I've played it with a lot of people, everything from college students to people at work. That's probably that and Downforce are probably the two games that my friends at work request the most to bring back to the table during lunch.
That's awesome. So, Ryan, now that you've gotten us all hyped up about campy creatures, how are we going to get our hands on a copy of this game?
So you can check it out on Keymaster Games website, or you can go to Amazon. It's on amazon.com. It's been, I'm trying to remember when I got my copy. I think it was at the end of August or the middle of September. I think it was before the fall started. So I got a copy before Halloween time. We ended up playing Campy Creatures all the time during the month of October. I'm so glad that I had it before then. But yeah, so it's out to the public. You can get a copy. I'm sure it's probably on Miniature Market and things like that. So if you shop online, that's where I would go. If you have a local gaming store, go in there and ask them. Say, Campy Creatures, Keymaster Games, look it up, because honestly, if this is sitting on the store shelf at your local gaming shop, it's gonna get bought, man. This is a really beautiful box. The box artwork, everything about this is just top notch. So,
well, Ryan, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of this episode.
It's gotta come to an end sometime, Rick.
I guess so, but it's been great talking with you. It's been great talking about some really awesome games, and I look forward to the next episode.
Excellent, man. Until next time, have fun gaming. And we're back. Rick, this week we're talking about a designer / publisher spotlight. And this is a segment of the show where we basically tell others about this great... I can't even speak.
You want me to do it? I can throw it. Let me do it, and I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, you intro it, because my words do not work. Okay.